Welcome to Operation Cobra Podcast, a podcast dedicated to ABC's Once Upon a Time. My name is Rebecca.
And I'm Monica.
And instead of discussing the season three episode called Quiet Minds, we are going to explain why we have chosen to quit recording this podcast. But first, I'd just like to give some history about Operation Cobra Podcast in case people don't know. I had recorded a few attempts at podcasting for TV shows like Lost and V with my friends when they were airing. But when V was canceled, I didn't really want to do another one. But when Once Upon a Time premiered and so many of my friends were watching it, I gave podcasting another chance because I thought it would be fun to discuss it with them. I decided to call it Operation Cobra Podcast because I had fallen in love with two new favorite TV characters, Emma and Henry. When we started, our recording was created over the phone, so our audio quality was pretty terrible. The talks were great, but I always wanted the podcast to improve. So before the season two premiere, I invested in a Blue Yeti microphone, had friends design our artwork and compose our theme music. Thank you to Cheryl and Ben. Enlisted one of my best friends, Monica, to be my co-host, and we finally got on iTunes. Things were better, but not completely what I envisioned. I invested in some more audio equipment and a mixer, and the quality got to where I was pretty comfortable with the sound. Of course, we could still make it better, but for what it became, I was pretty proud that we had constantly tried to aim higher. And as far as we are right now with Once Upon a Time, I don't want to be a quitter. I never want to quit anything, but this show has forced my hand. I was naive enough to think that Once was still a show about hope and happy endings, but killing Neil in Quiet Minds was the confirmation that it is not. They don't want to tell a good story, in my opinion. They killed Balefire, the character who was the basis for Rumple to create and get Regina to cast the dark curse that started everything. He was the character who only wanted to be happy with his papa, and his papa chose power over him. He was the character who was sent alone to our world with no other choice but to become a thief and ended up as a lost boy. He was a character who sacrificed himself to Neverland to protect the Darlings and keep their family together. He was a character who, when he found out he had a son, wanted to make things right and be a good father. He was the character who, instead of pursuing his own happiness, chose to let Emma go in order to break a curse to free a whole community of people and make sure Emma found her parents. And they killed him. So, Monica, what are your thoughts about this whole killing of Balefire that happened in Quiet Minds?
I'm actually a little upset by it. I guess a lot upset by it, because I agree with everything you just stated in regards to him deserving his happy ending. And even last week when you mentioned this new fairy tale that Once is trying to tell.
Yeah, they totally went and just made my Gettysburg Address look like total crap. And I will stand by that Gettysburg Address because I do believe I'm right.
Well, and I agree with most of what you said in that, because it is a new fairy tale. And the Neil Emma with Henry story, I thought was a good one. So despite them trying to make Bay have a heroic death, and I used air quotes in that sentence.
Yeah, people can't see it, but she did. I will verify.
I don't know if it was the right move. And even if it's a blue fairy type of thing where they're going to bring him back, I'm not overly impressed by it. I think Bay deserved to be with Emma, and Henry deserved to get to know Bay in this new life that he has. So I was kind of disappointed by it.
Yeah, they've already said that this death is permanent, that it is not a blue fairy situation, although it's like the blue fairy situation in the fact that they didn't set it up very well. And it was executed pretty terribly, I thought, because I was so naive when there was a rumor going around that, oh, they're going to kill a series regular. And I thought, well, they can't kill Neil. He was already, quote, and I'm using air quotes now, dead for half of the season already. Why would you kill a character twice in one season? I was so naive to think they were better storytellers than that, because that is the absolute dumbest thing I have ever heard or seen on television or in storytelling in general. I think it doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't you just kill him when he fell through the portal if that was your master plan? So something is so weird about what they did. And they said, Michael Raymond James said today that the death was not because he wanted to leave the show. It was not because he got fired. It was because they wanted to tell bold again, air quotes, bold storytelling. I was like, no, that's not bold storytelling.
Yeah, I didn't even quite understand the whole him and Rumple having the same body or same mind, and then Emma being the one to have to pull them apart. And I don't know.
I really didn't like how, like, even if you were going to kill him, which still didn't make any sense because they had foreshadowed several times that the happy ending was going to be Neil, Emma, and Henry in a castle. That's what they set up.
Right.
They set up all these times where he was going to fight for Emma, that he was going to see her again. ABC's promotional material even had Balefire's character poster say, believe in second chances. And I'm like, what's second chance?
Second chance at a different death.
At death. Second chance at death. So in that context, the poster makes complete
sense.
There
you go.
But they didn't even do right by Balefire in terms of the character, in terms of his character and his personality and the way he had been portrayed the whole series. They had him referred to as a villain. Hook called him a villain,
right?
Which I was like, you have some gall, brother, to call him a villain in terms of some of the stuff you've pulled. And I didn't like that they had him scarred like a villain.
Right.
Didn't like that at all. And I didn't like that they had him use dark magic, which is something he had always run away from.
Right.
He hated that his father had developed dark magic and was using it to do terrible things. Even Belle was like chastising him for doing it.
Right.
And they made him seem really stubborn and stupid and going against everything he had stood for the entire show.
Yeah. I loved slash hated, really, when the Wicked Witch of the West even said something to him in regards of, oh, looks like you haven't learned from your father's mistakes. I thought it was pretty poor.
It was a terrible death in terms of, like, you want your characters to get everything they've always wanted before they die. Like, that's generally what happens when characters are killed off. They'll have some happy moment, or they'll have what they want or what they didn't get, and then you kill them off. So here, Balefire resurrected his father only to lose his own life. It was just terrible. And the worst part of it for me was, well, there were several worst parts of it. One was they killed him off without his own son remembering who he was.
Right.
That was another reason I thought, they can't kill Neil. Even if they wanted to kill Neil, they wouldn't do it right now. Henry doesn't remember who he is. And Henry thinks he's a terrible person. Nope. They don't care about that. So, and Emma at the beginning of the episode was like, you know, I really don't think he should have memories of you, actually. I think it would be better if he... I was like, oh my gosh, Emma Swan.
Yeah, what is happening right now?
How crappy are you that you don't even want Henry to have memories of his father, and you would not give that to Neil, that Neil could have Henry have those memories of him. Like, I was just like, I'm even over Emma Swan in this episode. They even left his body in the woods
after he died.
And I was like, oh my gosh, the disrespect of this character has reached a new low. And the fact that Emma was the one who had to basically kill him was just, to make a really bad pun here, the nail in the coffin.
Right. It was definitely a little over the top, considering everything else that the two of them have gone through, what she was trying to deal with, and then
make
that happen.
They even had made reference to the fact that Emma and Neil were true love.
Right.
Because of the necklace keychain or whatever. But then they were like, who cares? Doesn't matter. We're going to kill him anyway. I just think that's a total disrespect for the story, for everything that the Balefire history had led up to at that point, because a lot of the mythology of the show is based around Rumple and Balefire's relationship.
Right.
Rumple had spent lifetimes searching for his son and trying to figure out a way. His manipulation of everybody that he was around in season one was all trying to get that curse cast and all trying to get back to Balefire. And he gets to know Balefire for like 2 seconds as an adult. And then he's taken away from him.
And that kind of makes me wonder what they are going to do with the rest of the show. Not that I know you necessarily care.
Oh, no. I'm not going to be watching.
But what does even Rumple have to live for now, aside from potentially Belle? I mean, I know he's gone crazy.
Well, I think he's okay now because he's got the voices out of his head.
Still. I mean, she's got the dagger. She controls him. Betty's gone. What else do you live for except for Belle? I guess that's a good thing because at least it's true love. But
oh, they'll just like do what said. The Charmings are doing. They'll just have another baby and believe in second chances with a new kid. That's what will happen.
Because like you said, I mean, the whole reason technically the show exists to some extent is because of the Bay Rumple storyline. And to get rid of it as they did is kind of sad.
It's just so strange that they would consider that bold storytelling when everything that had come before that was actually good storytelling. And then they killed everything off and stopped it, just completely stopped that momentum. And I was laughing out of frustration watching Quiet Minds because it's just another example of how Once Upon a Time is just repeating itself over and over now. They basically reenacted scenes that we had already seen before, where Emma had to go tell Henry that his father died. I had already seen that scene before. I would like to see something else. Instead of maybe Emma continually just walking around the woods, not doing anything, or Snow White drinking a glass of orange juice, you know, let's show something different and interesting. No, we have to actually recreate a scene that we've actually already seen. So that's why I can't wrap my brain around it being bold storytelling, is because it actually just repeated everything that they had already shown us. I mean, just when I thought the writing couldn't get worse, and we had been talking this whole season about how some of the writing didn't add up, and I was really frustrated about how they were treating the heroes on the show and the way they wouldn't set things up properly or how they spent too much time in Neverland. And just when I thought things couldn't get worse, they killed off the most selfless character who was the truly, truly the only one on the show who actually deserved a happy ending. And I think that says a lot about the show in general now, is that the show used to be about hope and happy endings. And I think for me, killing Balefire is a statement that happy endings only exist for people that the writers want happy endings for. Like, you don't get a happy ending for being a good person and being selfless and trying to look out for others. That's some bull crap. That character should get rewarded and get a happy ending.
And I don't think that heroic death, again, air quotes, is that selfless act that allows him to do that.
No, because it was actually a selfish act because he wanted to bring his father back.
Right. And it's also interesting that you say that, because I thought that I heard the theme of this season was supposed to be home.
Yes.
And now he not only wasn't able to go to his home or create a home, but now it's caused home issues for everyone else. You know, Rumple doesn't have him as part of his life to complete his family and his home. Emma and Henry are now without him / being able to create a home for him. So, with him. So I agree with you. I'm not quite sure where they were going with this.
Yeah, it kind of came out of the blue. They really did not set anything up. And it was disappointing to me, because what it seemed like they were setting up was that they were going to send Neil out on an adventure in the Enchanted Forest.
Right.
And I was like, hey, that's kind of fun. Because what I've loved about Wonderland is that every week it's an adventure. They're going around doing something and being active. And I was like, oh, he's going to go and go on a journey. And, oh, he's going to go with Belle. That's even better. That'll be fun. And I liked their interactions in the episode. But then she said he was being like his father, and then he ended up dead. So they even ruined the Belle-Neil relationship for me.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like a waste of story, that you could have had this really epic, cool journey of this hero who was trying to find a way back to the woman he loved and to his son and to make things right with his father. And then they just stopped it. And the worst part of it for me is that it seems like all the villains are going to get happy endings. Like Regina, you know, has encountered Robin Hood and knows that he is that guy with the tattoo.
Right.
So eventually she's going to get a happy ending. And who knows, now Hook and Emma are free to get together. And it's like the message of the show being that villains can have happy endings and that the good characters get killed. It just does not sit right with me at all.
Right, because I think they're doing too much of the second chances with those villains and giving them the opportunity to repent. And then as a result, it's causing the good guys to hurt because of it.
Well, and they didn't give the good guy a chance to repent either.
Right.
And he tried to make it up to him and he tried to apologize, but like they never gave him a chance where like it was okay.
Right. He just kind of stumbled into the shop and then he stumbles into the woods and dies.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the episode.
And his body gets left there because nobody cares. But I just want to make listeners clear that this is not about shipping. This is not about romantic relationships and me being unhappy that Emma and Neil don't end up together. That's not what this is. This is about bad writing. The show's writing for me has been declining in quality since the end of season two, and particularly the finale. And I decided to stick with it because the season three premiere was pretty great when they went to Neverland. It was awesome. That premiere was good.
Right.
But I have put up with way too many awful writing choices on the show. The use of amnesia, three curses, one of which is a redo for the first one, contrived magical potions for everything that they need quick fixes for, a heroine who doesn't do anything. She literally, the past two episodes, all Emma Swan has done is walk around in the woods. That's all she's done. And on top of all that, a friggin' series reboot, which is one of the worst crimes you could commit to your show. And now killing off the only character who represented a happy ending and hope, it's just the inconsistencies, the plot holes, the out of character interactions, all of those things have just added up and added up and added up. And it's just too much for me to take anymore. Now, I will say that there are things about the show that I'm going to miss. Even though I'm not going to watch it anymore, I'm going to miss Lana Parrilla and Robert Carlyle's performances. I think Lana was born to play Regina, and I think Robert created such a unique take on Rumpelstiltskin that's been really, really fun to watch. And I hate I'll miss seeing Rebecca Mader, who's been really great as the Wicked Witch of the West. And maybe somebody will, you know, tweet me and tell me, you know, what her big plan was. But, you know, I won't be watching. And I also still think that Jennifer Goodwin is the perfect Snow White. So I held out for a long time because I really loved the performances on the show. I liked the actors. And one of my all-time favorite TV editor, Mark Goldman, works for Once Upon a Time, and he cuts episodes for the show. And I always, you know, I consider myself his personal stalker. And I love seeing him cut episodes because he's a genius in the editing room. And I'm sad that I'll have to wait for whatever show he gets next to watch his stuff. But Mo, I just think life is too short to watch bad TV. That's like my personal philosophy. You know, my thing now is just watch something that inspires you. Watch something that tells a good story and watch something that makes you smile when it's over. That's the way you should watch television. And if you are like me and need something to replace Once Upon a Time, because you're like, I'm done, I'm over this, I've brought a list of recommendations of other shows that I think are worth checking out. And Mo, do you have any shows that you would like to recommend to people?
Two of my current favorites are Big Bang Theory, comedy that I can relate to as a engineering, not actually nerd, but one that gets some of the comedy that they tend to throw back and forth at each other. And I'm also enjoying Scandal. It's been a little rough the past episode or two, but I think it's a good thriller. And if it gets in your head, you may think differently about the government, but I enjoy it overall. I think it's a good show. So those are two of the ones that I try to watch every week.
I have a few, and a lot of these are actually comedies because, nice. You know, I don't watch a ton of dramas just because it, you know, it takes a lot to keep up with them, but comedy is like my first love. And so my first recommendation would be Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Nice.
One of the best new TV shows I've seen in a long time. It had one of the best first seasons that I've seen probably since 30 Rock, maybe. It was stellar all the way through from the pilot to the finale. Just every episode was consistently funny. It was consistently well written. And it won a Golden Globe for a reason.
I was going to say.
I was telling people, y'all should watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine for a long time. And nobody would believe me. And then it won a Golden Globe, and everybody was like, "What? Brooklyn Nine-Nine?" I'm like, yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, I knew about this for a while.
Yeah,
but it's really good. The cast is hilarious. The characters are so likable and fun. You want to spend so much of your time with them. And the comedy, just the mark of a good comedy is if it makes you laugh. And so Brooklyn Nine-Nine is my number one recommendation. It got renewed for season two, so people should get on that.
I caught a few episodes. I enjoy it.
So good.
It is pretty good.
They're like pros at the slow motion comedy. They do that very well. My second recommendation is actually kind of a reality show. It's called Comic Book Men on AMC. Huh. And even if you're not like a comic book reader, or even if you don't like superheroes, I still think it would be fun to watch, because the fun thing for me when I watch it is that people will come into the comic book store, into Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash, and they will bring things they want to sell. Hmm. So they'll have like these old collectibles, or, you know, these old comic books or whatever. And so it's fun for me, because I'm a nerd about these things, to learn about whatever it is they're selling, because they'll have a graphic that comes up of trivia about when this was made and why it's special and all of that kind of stuff. So that's part of the fun for me. And I think the guys in the store are really a good group of guys, and I would totally hang out with them.
I would say you're going to go stalk them at the store and try to buy stuff or sell your stuff, aren't you?
I would like to meet them. If they came to Dragon Con, I would totally go up to meet them. I think they're cool guys. And but on top of everything, it's fun because they talk about comic books and superheroes. But I think anybody could sit down and watch it and be entertained and informed. The next one is Parks and Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on for a while, but it's still pretty stellar. It's not super ha 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 funny, but it's
like hee hee funny.
But it's like ha 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 funny.
I caught some of the beginning seasons and I was into it, but not overly so.
Yeah, but for Parks and Recreation, I don't watch it so much to laugh my head off like I do with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Right.
Parks and Rec is more of that. It makes you feel good.
Gotcha.
It's a feel good show with, you know, Leslie Knope is such a positive character, and she tries to do things for the betterment of her city or her town. And it's kind of inspiring because you kind of want to be that better person. You want to be a good friend like Leslie Knope is, you know. So that's kind of the reason why I would watch Parks and Recreation.
Gotcha.
Although Ron Swanson, one of the greatest TV characters ever created. Also, Jean Ralphio, just YouTube Jean Ralphio. If you don't do anything else that I'm talking about, go look at YouTube clips of Jean Ralphio. The next recommendation is Trophy Wife, comedy on ABC.
I've caught a few episodes.
I got you to watch
pretty
that.
Good. But there's a big wedding coming up, or did it already pass?
Oh, yeah. It actually passed. And what I loved about that wedding was it was sort of based on the Kermit Piggy wedding from Muppets Take Manhattan.
Nice.
So I was like, this is so random that you would pick this. Because that the Muppets Take Manhattan is actually my favorite Muppet movie. And that's the part of the movie where I think it takes a weird turn. Like, it's really funny and awesome up until that wedding. And it's like, what is happening? So the fact that a TV show was like, yes, we're going to use this as a basis for our wedding. It was random. But it was also very awesome and very sweet. I had like 10 cavities after it was over.
Nice.
But Bailey Madison, Once Upon a Time fans will recognize the daughter on that show because she's played by the young Bailey Madison, who played the young Snow White on Once Upon a Time. So I highly recommend it. The ex-wives are all really funny. The kids are adorable. So I think it's a great show. I got two dramas left to recommend. One is Castle, which is a procedural on ABC. It's been on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I don't watch it for the mysteries. I don't watch it for the cases. I watch it for Castle and Beckett, because that's the reason to watch that show.
It is a good relationship. I agree.
And I would also recommend Being Human. It's kind of a little darker show. It's on Sci-Fi, but it's about it's about a vampire, a ghost, and some werewolves who live together in a house. And it's so crazy, the things that happen to them, but it's a good show about how these different monsters try to be there for each other and are kind of friends. And so
but aren't human.
They try to be human.
Gotcha. Hence,
I think
the show.
That's the whole point of the show, is like the vampire is trying to be a vampire, but not act like a vampire. You know, the werewolves, they are werewolves, but they want to be human, you know? And I think the mark of a great show is when I am watching a werewolf wedding and I'm kind of tearing up about it.
Oh, wow.
I never that thought that intense. Would happen to me. And it was so emotional that I kind of teared up. So I highly recommend Being Human on Sci-Fi. And I would hate myself if I went through a list of recommending shows and not mention the my two favorite shows of all time, even though these are not currently airing. I would highly recommend for people to go watch Lost and 30 Rock, because those two are the ultimates of their genre for me personally. Turning it back around to Operation Cobra Podcast, I just want to thank everybody who made an appearance on this podcast. I want to thank all who participated in Operation Cobra Podcast Theater. We had a really good time reading and reenacting the fairy tales from the Grimm Brothers stories. Thanks to the friends and contacts I made through podcasting roundtables like Bill and Anne-Marie at Greetings from Storybrooke, Daniel J. Lewis at Once Podcast, Bree and Alex over at Other Side of the Mirror, and Hope from Hope of All Trades. Big thanks to Monica, my co-host, for recording Peter Pan-related commentaries with me. That was a lot of fun to get to know some new versions of that story. And thanks to our listeners, because I never thought anyone would listen. I never thought we'd have one listener.
Agreed.
And we ended up having a global audience. So that was really cool to connect with people from all over the world. Just FYI, I'm going to leave the Operation Cobra Podcast email and Twitter active. Even if I don't actively use it, it will still be up. I'm not going to delete anything in case anyone should ever want to listen to this in the future and they have questions. And if you would like to keep up with me, Monica doesn't have a Twitter account, but if you would like to keep up with me in the future, you can follow me on Twitter at DerbyKid, DerbyKid. And to wrap this final episode of Operation Cobra Podcast.
Oh,
I know. It's crazy. It's the end. I thought I would read a quote by J.R.R. Tolkien. He wrote an essay called On Fairy Stories. And I thought it was appropriate because he talks about what I wish once upon a time had been, where I wish once upon a time had been, like, not just saying it was about hope and happy endings, but it would show hope and happy endings. And you don't have to wait till the very end of the show to do that. I guess that's what they're doing. And maybe one day they'll get there. But I think you have to reinforce that there's hope in every situation and that people can have happiness in even though there's chaos around them, just like in life, you know. Life sucks, but you can find hope and happiness in the midst of anything that you're going through. And so I always kind of wished that Once Upon a Time would have shown that. And so Tolkien actually talks about that in this quote. He says, "It is the mark of a good fairy story, of the higher or more complete kind, that however wild its events, however fantastic or terrible the adventures, it can give to child or man that hears it when the turn, which he refers to as the sudden turn of events at the end of a story, which ensures that the protagonist does not meet some terrible, impending, and very plausible doom, comes a catch of the breath, a beat and lifting of the heart, near to or indeed accompanied by tears, as keen as that given by any form of literary art, and having a peculiar quality. In such stories, when the sudden turn comes, we get a piercing glimpse of joy and heart's desire, that for a moment passes outside the frame, rends indeed the very web of story, and lets a gleam come through."